listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
People get your ears so I bleed sublime. It's enjoyable to know you and the concubine. Niggas, take off your coats. Ladies act like gems. Sit down, Indian style, as we recite these hymns. See, lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momo. Ludicrously speedy or infectious with the slow-mo. Heard me in the 80s, JB's on the promo on my never-ending quest to get the paper on the caper. But now, let me take it to the queen side. I'm taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential quests is to invade the way. Hold on, I think it's invade the air anyway. Hold up one second, son, because we almost there. You can be a black man to lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the roll. See, my shit is universal because I got knowledge of Dolo Adele for self. See, there's no one else who could drop it on the angle. Acute at that. So do that. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Aaron.
And it's a snow day.
Mm-hmm.
Very snowy. It's not very snowy, but it's snowy for us in North Carolina. Snowy day. Mm-hmm. Snowy Wednesday.
Right. And I had to go to work. Only reason why I went to work this morning, because initially it was raining, because, you know, Roger brought this up, but the way the news people would act, like, it was like, it's gonna be fucking snowpocalypse. I was like, well, I guess I get up early in the morning and see how many news anchors slipping and sliding and falling to determine if I was going to go to work. But when I got up here, they was like, it's just raining. It had already snowed in other parts, but it was just raining here. So I was like, well, I get up and go. And they said it was basically, and it's still actually snowing. It says basically going to be snowing to, you know, the bulk of the day. So I went ahead and went on to work, but I left early because I was like, this nigga right here ain't staying all day.
Yeah, I am, you know, I just stayed here. So, but I looked outside and I saw it was coming down okay. I was like, it was sticking a little bit, but not really. I mean, people were still moving around on the streets, but Karen decided to come home early. She wanted to do the show early too.
Yeah, maybe.
Which is why this isn't a Walking Dead recap, because I didn't have time to watch it, guys. So,
he didn't tell me that part.
That's all right. You the boss. You know how it is.
I'm sorry, people who've been begging for that Walking Dead recap. Ain't tell me that.
It's okay. You wanted to get it over with, and mm-hmm. We're going to get it over with. There's nothing wrong with that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast brought to you by our albums on Spotify and Tidal and Amazon and iTunes. Just search The Best of Rod and Karen. Or you can search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Those are two albums we did.
Mm-hmm.
We did audio plays for. We just recorded some more stuff. I know it's been a long time in the works, but we have more stuff coming.
We do.
We do keep going up there and recording. Nick Ju's been recording with us and stuff. I know there's plans for her to have an album. Chris is getting the album.
Mm-hmm.
So very excited about all that stuff. So make sure you guys check out. Make sure you guys check out the show, you know, and check out the albums by going to searching those joints on iTunes, Spotify, and all that stuff, guys. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into the news. Got all kinds of news to talk about. Let's see. How about this? Tamika Mallory is one of the leaders of the Women's March in D.C. from last year. You know, they went out and got the women of color
mm-hmm.
to kind of, you know, lead it. Well, they're doing another one this year in Vegas.
Okay.
So they're starting to talk about it, she did a interview with USA Today. She was talking about it. She's a co-president of the Women's March board, and one of the things they're switching focus to is, and that's, I don't even know if it's a switching focus, but I guess last year when they did the march, it was more of a galvanizing and an expression of people's frustration and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This time they're like, we're going to try to use this anger towards some goals. And one of them is getting out people to vote.
Right.
We thought to just have another march in Washington, D.C. would be purely symbolic, and it would not necessarily reach the goals of turning a historic moment into a movement that would impact the communities that we seek to engage and help to transform. We thought that power to the polls was an important next step that would give us the opportunity to work on a grassroots level with partners and individuals who are committed for the long haul. So they want to get people to vote, and then not just vote for anybody, but women candidates that are on ballots and need help around the country and they need people to kind of, you know, hit, beat the streets for them and stuff. So it's like, let's use this power to do that.
Correct.
And also she talked about the Me Too movement, said the women's march set women on fire. It really created the energy for women to step forward in a number of ways and to be more vocal on issues that matter to us as women. The women's march provided opportunity for women to understand our collective power and to understand that the more public we are, the more we have opportunity to bring our issues to the forefront. So but yeah, I just thought that was interesting, you know, because I think one, whenever they do the next women's march, they will probably still catch some residual flack, you know. Mm-hmm. I do like that, you know, they still have like these black and brown women didn't go anywhere. Like it wasn't just window dressing, it seems.
That's a good thing
as of yet, because it's been a full year. It hasn't been wall-to-wall press, it hasn't been a whole lot of stuff coming out, and it makes, you know, sometimes I feel like that's when things slip through the cracks.
Correct.
They show up the next year, all of a sudden it's just all white women, and you're like, what happened to them sisters? And you know what I mean?
Long.
So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. 10 workers died after a bridge unexpectedly collapsed.
Mm-hmm. We got some of the worst infrastructure for an industrialized country. People underestimate the...
Well, hold up now. I say in America.
Oh, okay. If I was in America, yeah, we got problems here.
This is in Bogota, Colombia.
Ah.
Yeah, a bridge collapsed, and they still couldn't determine how many people was working on the bridge at the time, but they were working on it. And it collapsed while they were working on it. Now, you were going ready to say something about the infrastructure of our country, and this is what it made me think of when I read the article. I was like, man, remember that bridge collapsing in Atlanta with the fire? And it was just kind of like nothing to see here, business as usual, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, I remember when Obama tried to pass like that bill to get infrastructure for roads, and he only got like a fraction of the money that he wanted because they fought him every tooth and nail. But
right.
I wonder how long before this is kind of like run of the mill shit that happens here.
Oh, I think eventually it will happen because they constantly relax laws. They constantly don't want to invest money. Most people listening on the sound of my voice, you're driving on roads that have been built back in the 1950s and 60s that have been patched but never repaired. You know, a lot of people are riding roads that, you know, they've done studies and they're like, hey, you know, we give this road actually a C or a D. As far as infrastructure, a lot of people riding on roads that literally at any period of time can crumble with people actually riding across it, but nobody gives a fuck when they be like, hey y'all, we're gonna have to raise your taxes just by a little bit to make so we can get the money to fix the roads. Nobody cares. And you can't have roads and not want to invest the money on the roads. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know, I feel like America is always kind of, we have that exceptionalism and we think of ourselves as so advanced and shit, but then there's certain things we just let slack.
Right.
Because we take it for granted or there's no profit in it or something like that. But, you know, roads is pretty much a government infrastructure and people don't want to pay for them. They want them as a right, but then they, you know, don't really want taxes raised or anything like that. Or if they do pay for it, they want to turn it into a for-profit thing like a toll road.
Right. When that's ridiculous too. I mean, depending on where you live in a country, having a vehicle is a luxury. Being able to ride on the road and have a vehicle is a luxury. People think that everybody has vehicles. They don't. A large percentage of people, particularly in cities that are like larger cities, ride public transportation. And in certain parts of the country, sometimes your insurance a month is more just to equal to your car payment a month, depending on where you live in the country. So it is a privilege to be able to have a right to drive in our country. And the thing is, people take for granted that these roads will be here. And like you say, people don't give a fuck about nobody but themselves. But it's like, you only care about you, but you only care about when you want the road there, not when other people might be using this road when you're not there.
Yeah, also, it's kind of weird because it's trying to solve a problem with basically classism and with, you know, making a road a luxury item of you can afford this money every day so you can have the good road. The rest of the people have to deal with traffic. You know, it's a weird solution, and it happens all over the country. I know they try to put it in Charlotte even, and we've fought it every time, and it's always gotten kind of taken down, but they think that's a solution, is we'll just pay for this good road.
Right. And people like, depending on where you live, it's different. Here, we got fucking property tax. I drive a vehicle, I pay goddamn property taxes, and they keep motherfucking going up. I'm not paying property taxes and paying for the right to ride on the road. That's fucking dumb.
Right.
You're taxing me twice, because if you put this in, you still gonna charge me property tax. You ain't gonna say, well, now since we got toll rolls, we're gonna actually not take your money for your property taxes. No, you're gonna double charge me. Well, a lot of states don't have property taxes on vehicles, so they have toll rolls. It's a big difference.
Speaking of America, I was reading this article, 10 ways that America is falling behind. Mm-hmm. America the Great. This is why we had to make it great again, because we're falling behind. Number 10, fewer people want to visit America. Tourism is down across the board.
Of course, don't nobody want to visit here when they don't know if they're going to get stopped at the airport for being brown, and they don't want to be shot in the streets. People take for granted that you can randomly get shot in the street here in America. Laws in other countries are really, really tight on guns, and you can't just be walking around with a concealed weapon and shit like that. So a lot of people are like, I don't want to come to America and fucking get shot just randomly walking around.
Yes, that's part of it, but also the whole racism thing,
right?
Having a racist ass president, a racist administration,
right,
that don't want certain countries to be able to immigrate here. You think they gonna make it easy to visit here? You know, like, we have a horrible reputation right now. Number 9, we drink too much. Apparently, with the alcohol cheaper today as a percentage of income than any time since 1950, Americans are drinking a lot more. Drinking behavior jumped to, risky drinking behavior and alcohol abuse has jumped to 12.6%.
Yeah, you have some people that actually, you know, abuse alcohol and have alcoholism problems, but they're not really talking about, a lot of people are depressed. Like, a lot of people, whenever they get depressed by what's happening in the country, they turn to alcohol.
Yeah, but yeah, alcohol abuse and alcoholism, risky drinking behavior has driven, jumped to 12.6%, in, adults, from 2012 to 2013, from 9.7% in 2001 to 2012. That means 7 million more Americans binge drink every week.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And also in our country, we view drinking kind of different, and it's a cultural thing too. And I might be wrong, but from my understanding, a lot of white people drink at really young ages compared to black people. From, you know, just from what I see, most black people, like, you ain't drinking until you're 21. You know, you might have a sip for, you know, a wedding or something like that, but I better not catch you drinking nothing until you're 21.
I think there's a bunch of factors there. Where you grew up, you know, in the South, we have all this religious shit. We have all these laws against how that you can get alcohol.
Right, religion and shit like that. Right,
poverty. You know, I think that when you don't have a lot of money, there's all kinds of kids I remember growing up that would drink alcohol. I just wasn't doing it, but they were getting it much earlier than me, and they were all black. So I don't know that black people are necessarily exceptions to that. The one thing I think might be different for us than white people specifically is that cultural thing with colleges,
right?
Because college, it typically encourages binge drinking. It's a huge part of what white people consider the college experience, is the idea of getting shit-faced. And I mean, it's why we have football culture. It's not because football is so great. It's mm-hmm. those people, they tailgate, they get blissed out of their mind, yep. They blackout drunk, mm-hmm. and all this other messy shit. You know, it's one of the reasons that I think college campuses are rife with sexual assault as well, is because you have mm-hmm. students walking around fucking drunk as hell. You know, it's just a way of life. So I don't know that we're less prone to it for anything other than maybe the on the college angle, maybe. But as far as like in our neighborhoods, like, they sell malt liquor and all kinds of shit to kids. Like, they don't give a fuck.
That's true. And I guess that's just speaking from my personal experience, because I know I was like, you ain't drinking till you're 21. So I just never thought nothing about it. And even once I turned 21, I ain't really get it all excited about, ooh, I can drink now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just different. Yeah, it's just different ways.
You're right. And everybody's experience is very different. And they do actually, like you said, particularly in areas that are poverty, they actually do promote certain things heavier in those areas, where in white areas you wouldn't see signs for tobacco and cigarettes and malt liquors and shit like that. You don't see that in certain areas of the country.
Number eight, there aren't a lot of days off.
Agreed.
We're behind everybody when it comes to days off. It's crazy. Nope. We work ourselves to death.
Yep. And then, yeah, because this country leaves more PTO time, more personal days, more sick days on the table than anybody else.
And we just get less, though. Even in the beginning, you get less than other countries.
Right.
Number seven, our infrastructure is falling behind. Well, the American Society of Civil Engineers gives the United States infrastructure a D+ grade for 2017.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You have countries that, you know, are a fraction of our size, are just as big or bigger than us, that have bullet trains, and, you know, people don't have to be waiting for shit that runs late. You have busing systems that actually function with your trains, that actually, you know, function with the trolleys and shit like that. Like, it's a lot more advanced, and, you know, people spend billions of dollars and their taxes constantly get raised, but their transit system is shit.
Number six, our education system. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, number six. Number six, our education system is middling. We already knew that. I mean,
right, that's not new.
You ask an American, the average American kid has the number one confidence, but not the number one education.
Of course.
The opioid crisis, that's for white people, but
yeah,
it's also hurting America.
Y'all number one, right.
91 people in the United States die every day from opioid overdose.
Good God, 91. Woo! And you can only get that by prescription, right?
We have 4%, or you can steal it or some shit.
All right.
We have 4% of the world's population, but 27% of drug overdose deaths.
Good God.
Yeah, that's also a privileged thing too, because I know they found, like, the doctors that do prescribe that stuff, and they prescribe it, like, very liberally. But yeah, it's a privilege. Like, you have to have insurance. Right. It normally does. It's happening to white people because white people have this level of privilege. And, you know, we've decided white people can handle their drugs better than black people, for some reason. But that's why it's killing them and not us. If it was killing us, obviously no one would give a fuck.
I'll be banned.
But, yeah, we have 4% of the world's population, but 27% of its drug overdose deaths. Number four, mass shootings result in a shrug. Well, we knew that one.
Of course.
Number three, shrug, basically, on that one, because no one cares. Homes are out of reach for millennials. First-time home buyers accounted for 34% of all home purchases in 2017, which near a historic low.
Recently, I can't get back on the screen. Okay. But yes, because, like I've said before and said many a times, how can I buy a house and I already have a house worth of student loan debts?
Yeah,
that makes no sense. You know, college students end up staying home with their parents till they're in their 30s, because, you know, you're paying on your student loan debt, which means you're paying a few thousand dollars depending on how big your student loan debt is at a job that pays you pennies on a dollar, or a lot of times you're overqualified for the job. You know, like, you got a job and you're like, I didn't go to school for this, but, you know, it's hard to get experience, but everybody wants you to get experience, but won't nobody hire you to give you the experience that you need to get the paying job.
Yeah. It looked like you logged in as TVGWT guest. Is that what happened? Don't say that again no more. It's cool. No, just stay on screen. Don't leave the screen. I'm just saying. Okay. That's why I couldn't find you.
Oh, okay. I must have got emails for both things. My bad.
No problem. All right, but yeah, home, millennials can't buy homes. Number two, student debt is piling up. So another reason you can't buy homes, your ass ain't, you got the student debt, how you gonna afford a house? A house is more debt, really. It's an investment, but it's also more debt for a very long period of time.
Correct. And it's also one of the things too where a lot of people put unnecessary stress, even our generation put unnecessary stress on the next generation, because even me and you were at a point where we had student loans, but even ours was at a lower percentage rate. We got to refinance. Like, you know, it's one of those things where people fail to realize it went through the roof as far as the rate that the schools charge, and the tuition rate just went up, and at a ridiculous rate. and nobody really wants to talk like that, but you act like these children ain't shit, quote unquote, or these children ain't trying hard, quote unquote, when they're in financial straps.
Straps?
I mean, not straps, Lord have
mercy. Straits?
Yes.
Dire Straits? I don't know. Dire
Straits,
was.
My bad.
Well,
shit, strapped. They strapped to that debt. My bad.
But yeah, it's kind of, it's a lot of, it's so expensive to just exist, you know. I was thinking about Bernie Sanders today, and I was thinking how, it's a long tangent, but anyway, I was just thinking about Bernie Sanders today and how he promised free college to people. And, what? Why'd you shake your head?
You know what? And the thing is, you promise free college to people, but to who? Like, a lot of times people say stuff, I always be like, but to who am I going to benefit from it? Is this freeness going to come my way? Or are you only talking about the constituents that you, run to, as far as, you know, you want to vote, you want everything to be colorblind, you know, you don't want people to consider certain things. So, you know, it's one of the things, but I would have to see something in that, like that, take place for me to actually believe that brown people will actually benefit from your quote-unquote free school.
Okay. You know, I don't know exactly how the plan would work once implemented, but I know his plan was to, like, basically tax the stock market. I'm not 100% sure that it was going to work, because he was going to tax people who invest in futures and then take a percentage of that and then blah blah blah, because he hates Wall Street and he's decided. But I'm like, one, now you've made college education dependent on Wall Street, which you claim to hate. Two, Wall Street is not actually a stable thing. So what happens if they fluctuate or adjust to this and they go, I'm not going to deal with this anymore, I'm gonna put my money somewhere else, you know, to create a different type of market or something.
Go overseas.
I don't know. But anyway, I was just thinking about how his imagination could conceive of free college, which, and it was one of the major reasons people wanted to vote for him, because it's like, maybe I can get student debt forgiveness, student loans, forgiveness, things of this nature. And it's a very alluring thing because it affects so many people. So it just made me think about him. I was thinking about him today. I was just thinking how he could imagine that, but not reparations. Was like, that was the crazy,
right? And that, like,
that was the line for him.
Like I said, I watch and listen to what he says, and I'm like, okay, I hear you with the free college, but is it gonna get to my black ass, or is it gonna be like, we're not gonna talk about that nigga shit?
Number one, we're dying sooner. This is the second straight year with a decline in life expectancy for Americans.
Yeah, they said this is the first generation where the children outlive the children outlive the parents.
This is some good news, though. The heart disease and cancer death rates are down.
Wait a minute, I meant that reverse. The parents would outlive the children. That's what I meant.
Parents have a longer life expectancy than the children.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, 10 ways, that was the 10 ways of falling behind.
What was the first one?
It was life expectancy.
Okay, so that was the end. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you said another one, but okay.
Mm-mm. Nope. Let's get scientific on their ass. What happens to your body when you sneeze?
Excuse me.
Well, apparently your chest muscles compress your lungs, which sends a burst of air upwards. The throat shuts tight, which then sends the air shooting through your nose at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. And let's not forget the spray. There are 2,000 to 5,000 bacteria-filled droplets emanating from your nose and your mouth with each sneeze.
Oh.
Needless to say, a tissue or some other form of protection for your nearest and dearest is in order. Someone with a cold also sneezes quite a bit for the same reasons. The swelling in their nasal passages causes irritation. It's a fascinating process, so fascinating that it's been the topic of much research. The latest by Lydia Borowiba, a mathematical physicist from MIT whose exploration was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2016. Her work is expansive, but her overall goal is simple: to understand how sneeze droplets and disease microbes travel. She breaks down the sneeze in ways you might not want to understand, but you have to admit they do have slow motion video that is impressive. But yeah, they were saying like the sneeze of some stuff is like, it's different for people. Some people have bouts of sneezing. It's a neurological reflex, and it depends on the person. Some people may have to sneeze 10 to 20 sneezes in a row.
Yeah, I've seen it happen before.
That's a lot of sneezes. I've done a few, like, where it's a lot in a row, but 20 seems excessive. And then there's also myths about sneezing, that your eyes will pop out of your head if you sneeze with your eyes open.
That's not true.
Yeah, they said that's not true.
No, it's not.
Your eyes are firmly attached to your head thanks to a group of delicate muscles. They are not contrary to this popular grade school myth, going to fall out of our heads if we forget to close our eyelids when we sneeze. They said it's something like they say that the impact on your body is the same as like a car crash. Depending on it. And I know I've sneezed before, and where I've like hurt my back and shit before. Somebody, like, I've had that happen before. Like, you sneeze and you hurt yourself at the same time. It's like, what the fuck was that? Like, does my back hurt because I sneeze?
It's not like that's a yes.
You know, but I it's crazy. But anyway, all right, let's see what else we got here. Let's get into let's do our segments. I was gonna do another article, but I don't know, these are just kind of boring to me today. Didn't have a lot of time to prep, guys. Karen was ready to go.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rush you.
It's all right. I'm not upset with you at all. How about we do this? LGBTQ news. LGBTs are more progressive in racial attitudes than straight cisgender people, to which I say no shit.
Right.
One, some LGBTQ people are people of color.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm as shocked as you are, guys. I know, it's crazy to me too. Isn't that a strange revelation? But then two, I feel like marginalized people, and it's sad that it doesn't always cross the other way, but we should have more understanding for people that are in our situation.
Right, but like you said, it's sad it doesn't cross the other way.
If we could get past the jealousy of other people's progress, I wonder how much more would have been accomplished already in humanity if it wasn't for us looking at other people getting closer to the goals that they want, and then us resenting that they got progress, as opposed to being like, you know, and vice versa, people that have progress, it not turning their back once it, like, oh, I reached my status of equality, I'm out, you guys have a good one, I will not be attending the meetings anymore.
That happens a lot,
you know, especially when it comes to hierarchical things, like, oh, we will have, like, okay, we need to get free as black people, but black men first. then black women, then black LGBTQ people, and then children, and then like it just, and it goes down this list and you're like, wait a minute,
that's not,
you're
true.
Not gonna come back and help us, you're just gonna get on and leave us and leave my ass for a white girl, you know, like you're just gonna get on and dip. So it's kind of interesting because I think about that all the time, like how many struggles could have already been accomplished and done with if people would have kind of stuck together, because you know there's a history to this resentment. It's a reason that we look at people, it's a reason that even we as black people look at white women as like not necessarily allies in a shared struggle, but almost like competition for space in some areas, and also as untrustworthy people that, well yeah, as soon as you get what you want, it's gonna be like, well guys, we got voting rights, I don't see why we need to go any further than past white women, I mean isn't this enough, you know, so it's always that distrust. But I just wish it worked both ways, because I feel like black people should be more open to LGBTQ people because we know what marginalization and oppression feels like. But
correct,
whenever you bring it up, there's certain people, and I notice this phrase a lot, they'll be like, you can't even compare, and I'm like, oh, you're a fucking bigot. Oh, I didn't realize,
because the oppression Olympics.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was talking to somebody that was gonna, so this is your new, this is what, if we keep talking, this is how you're gonna eventually play it out, that somehow we should not support LGBTQ people. It's how Dave Chappelle in his special completely misstates the whole like LGBT issues by to making them white only issues, so that he can be like, well as a black man I don't support this shit, and it's just, I mean you can have your equality, but you know they don't listen to y'all because you white. And it's like, well that's not 100% fair or accurate, you know, because then you erase a bunch of people that aren't white people that happen to be LGBTQ that you have no reason to root against them or hate them or to want them or to feel like they're doing better than you, yet here you are with this bigoted attitude, you know, obviously in jest or whatever, it's right. Stand-up special, I don't really want to get into that part, but you know, it's, but people trot that line out all the time, I'm a black man, you telling me this, that, and that. It's like, well some trans people are black men, now what,
right?
Do they not get oppressed? Is that what you're telling me? The cops treat them different? Like, get the fuck out of here. So but I wish it worked both ways is what I was trying to say. But I'm also not surprised that they would have quote unquote better attitudes than straight people. Not necessarily that they would all have great attitudes, and I'm sure if you did a survey of just white LGBTQ people, you still would have some fucked up racial attitudes. So
yes.
Anyway, let's see what else we got. That was so not surprising, by the way. The U.S.'s richest boarding school admits showing anti-gay video to a student as it fights lawsuit by freshmen punished for downloading homosexual porn. The richest boarding school in the U.S. has admitted in court documents that a pupil was shown a gay conversion video. A former student at the Milton Hershey School in Pennsylvania alleged that he was forced to watch the video as punishment for downloading gay porn. Punishment for no. What happens if you download straight porn? Do you get punished?
No.
What video did they show you for that?
No.
Sir, you have to watch a full baseball game. No.
Right.
The school has previously denied the claim made by Adam Dobson, but now lawyers admit it was shown to at least one student. So first, so he said y'all did this to me, and then they lied and said no, we didn't. And then he said yes y'all did, and they're like, okay, we showed it to a student. How much you want to bet the student is him? Why'd you lie? He said he was forced to watch the hour long video. It was an hour long? It take that long to tell me not to be gay? Wrap right. That shit up, B.
Wrap it up. I mean, you could just send that in the email or text.
This ain't Blade Runner. Make this shit short.
Come on.
15 minutes. Kids don't have attention span of an hour no more. Like, it's a fucking a YouTube video or something. Netflix don't even give you 15 seconds to hit next on the next one in the series.
Not no more. They're like, you ready? You ready? You ready? Play.
All right. 3, 2, 1. The next episode of Big Mouth. I'm like, damn. Anyway, Dobson said he was forced to watch the hour-long video by Cy Rogers, who claims to have been converted himself before a prayer session was held to try to change his sexuality. He told lawyers, the Inquirer reports, we would pray together to have God help me from being gay. He said House parents also warned him in 2010 that terrible things happen to gay people. What kind of terrible things? Dobson was expelled in 20
glitter.
Like, y'all gonna do something to him? It sound like, I mean, I'm just saying, it sound like a threat.
Right.
That's how it sounds. I mean, that's how I would take it.
But yeah. Am I gonna go missing? What's happening? What are these terrible things?
You don't wanna be gay. Terrible things happen to gay people. Like, what? This turning to Get Out? Like, y'all gonna do something
right?
to me? Kind of fucking thing is that? Are y'all planning terrible things to do to me?
Apparently.
Then shut the fuck up.
Somebody got a plot.
Yeah, so they said he was expelled at 2013 after an apparent suicide attempt. So one thing we know, LGBTQ community, higher rate of suicide attempts, especially LGBTQ youth. And these people ostracized this person, singled him out, said terrible things would happen to him for being gay. Keep in mind, in their mind, they're just like, don't be gay. Which is ridiculous, because it's not like anyone could walk up to me and be like, hey, Rod, stop being straight. I'm like, well, I guess that ass in no yoga pants is no longer attractive. Y'all told me. I watched an hour long video. My dick doesn't get hard anymore for women. Sorry. Like, that's fucking stupid. So automatically you started with a thing he can't quote unquote fix, because you refuse to accept his sexuality. Then you ostracize him, show him this video. You have people tell him terrible things happen to people like him. Maybe he'll feel like his life isn't worth living. Maybe that's why you have a suicide attempt. And instead of going, you know what, we need to have a more loving approach to this person, we need to accept them as they are, we need to support them, what do? Get the fuck out of our school.
Right, because that would be the right thing to do.
The fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, the school that I'm paying probably somebody's whole salary for a year.
Expelled. The school had previously branded the claim an outrageous allegation and said the staff would never allow or condone such action. Yeah, that's what they were lying about. They was trying to avoid that lawsuit with the, we're not complicit in him feeling like he need to kill himself. Well, y'all showed him a straight conversion movie. We showed it to somebody. We didn't say who.
The one person is complaining. What the fuck? What are we talking about here?
The school is largely financed by Hershey Chocolate and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You for real?
Yes. So, like, y'all gotta boycott those. Caught y'all slipping. I know a lot of y'all love those Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Well, you been making it so this school could make people not gay and want to kill themselves. Give it up. Boycott. It was sued last year by the parents of former student Abby Bartles, who was expelled after being treated for suicidal thoughts. She hanged herself 2 weeks after being expelled.
Oh
yeah, I don't understand how y'all are helping people by, oh, you try to commit suicide, you had suicidal thoughts, just don't do that shit on campus, you're out of here, yeah, get out, go, bye.
Y'all don't have counselors? What the fuck is happening here?
The last thing you need is support of your friends and loved ones and the school staff and all the training. Nope, what you really need is to be away from us. That'll fix it. Yeah, I hope they get them for all them Reese's Cups money,
all of them.
Let's see what else happened. How old is this? Okay, all right, we'll do it. Office for Civil Rights releases memo on transgender student protections. So we still have a civil rights office in America. Well, isn't that good?
Right.
I didn't know we still had those.
Probably because they don't know it exists. As soon as they find out about it, they're gonna be like, "Up, y'all get out of here too."
Yeah, somewhere Jeff Sessions reading this memo like, civil rights, what are these?
Why didn't nobody tell me about this? We in that program, can we defund it?
We can't be out here having civil rights now, come on. Earlier this year, the Trump administration sparked concerns among LGBTQ activists when they made attempts to reverse Obama era protections for transgender students. Now an updated document of guidelines surrounding Title IX is creating further worries in the LGBTQ education communities, as a memo fails to include protection for students using the bathroom that correspond with their gender identity. While the guidelines do protect transgender students from discrimination or hostile environments, the absence of explicit language regarding bathrooms has struck many as alarming. As the Los Angeles Times points out, it could raise the concern that complaints surrounding bathrooms might not be investigated or could be dismissed altogether.
Right.
An employee familiar with the memo told Huffington Post that they interpret the document as return to a pre-Obama era, and Catherine Lauman, who helped create the guidelines under the Obama administration, told the LA Times that the new letter is dangerous for transgender students because it gives officers a way to dismiss cases. Lauman adds, it says you have jurisdiction over sex discrimination and sex stereotyping, but here's how you could dismiss it. They can't have it both ways. Other complaints characterize the memo as confusing or lacking in clarity. Eliza Billard, you know what's weird? I remember this when this happened, and I want to say later they came out and said, no, it's not changing anything, not whatever. But one of the things, and they were like, we just kind of left that out, but it's still the same rule. Mm-mm. Here's my thing, though. Let's say that's what happened, right? Just for a second, go with me on this. That also shows your general incompetence that you didn't include it. So it's one way or the other. You're either willfully ignorant and hateful, and you're legitimately trying to ostracize trans people and on a very prominent issue in the community. A. Or B, he selects such inept, corrupt, incapable motherfuckers around him that are so like, listen, this person never been in the government, that's what makes them good, they're running like a business or whatever, and then they don't know how to fucking do their job, you know? Like, this is a reason that, you know, for all the shit people talk about politicians, and I have my theories about some of this shit, but for all this shit that people talk about politicians, one of the biggest problems is that we don't respect what politicians actually do.
Correct.
And we don't respect the knowledge base of being a politician. We think anyone can do it. It's one of the reasons we have Trump, because people think anyone can just do that shit.
Anybody can do it.
You know, it's one of the reasons people are so scared of Oprah, because we came to the realization that motherfuckers stupid enough to be like, anyone can do it. I like them. Why can't they be president, right? It's that simple to me. Well, that's kind of what we're seeing at work here. And like I said, some of these scandals, I'm never 100% sure bigoted or incompetent.
I think sometimes,
obviously it can be both, but just the idea of, well, we didn't mean to do that, and I have to step back like, they might not have meant to do it, you know? Like, they're electing like fucking 24-year-old judges and shit. They might not have meant to do it. They don't know what the fuck they're doing, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they do, you know, when they hire like a Jeff Sessions, he's been around long enough. But sometimes I'm like, that motherfucker just got that job 3 days ago. All the people quit and resigned before he got there because they didn't want to be part of this shit. How the fuck can you know what you're doing?
Right.
So maybe you left this out as an oversight. Maybe not. Maybe both. Maybe, you know, maybe. I don't know. It'll just drive you mad, and there's no right answer or whatever. And I always kind of lean towards, well, then it's just bigotry and that's it. But
right.
This is how inept they are. I don't know for sure. I can only tell you how I feel about it, but at least when the Obama administration did something, I was pretty sure, like, oh yeah, yeah, they thought about that and they did that move.
Right. And it's one of the things too, to where the people that Trump has put in office, that was like, from the top to the bottom, everybody who he's put is the least qualified group of people ever put in these federal positions.
Yeah. So
when shit get the fucking up, you go, yeah, you don't know what you're doing.
But I want people to understand, it does matter, and it does make a difference which one it is. I'm not, like, there's some nuance to be had here. While they are all pieces of shit, there's also the scariness of, look at these bigots in charge, and there's also the scariness of these incompetent bigots being in charge. And I need them to take the whole apple pie. They got to eat all of it. They incompetent and bigots, and that's scary as fuck. Because their bigotry is so incompetent, when he tries to pass shit, it ends up in court because nobody's dotted any I's, crossed any T's. They just throw fucking stupid ass ideas out there like, I'm going to sign this paper, can't we do that? And it's like, no, you can't do that. Like, you can't just do anything.
He gets in his own way. Like, if he was smart, which he's not, he literally would get everything in a row, so once you go forth with shit, people can protest it like they do.
Yeah,
turn it over easily.
I'm more scared of Pence than him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. People better realize You get Pinson off, his shit will roll like a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
And not in a good way.
All right, let's go to fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. Okay, we go all around the globe. We assign different point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. And we score them. And how much we feel fucked with is black people. The contestants today are everybody. It's everybody again. They're all playing.
If they do it or not, they playing.
Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake says he and Janet Jackson made amends after the Nipplegate scandal. Mm-hmm. That's right, Karen. They made amends, all right? Justin's telling us it already happened.
Not unless I hear from Janet.
So y'all need to get over it.
Mm-mm. Not until I hear from Janet. I don't care what you got to say.
What Janet got to do? I mean, the white man has said that they already figured this out, Karen. I don't understand what the next.
So he already preparing y'all that she's not gonna be on the Super Bowl as much as people talk. Like, that's his one sound. We cool mean I'm not bringing her black ass on Super Bowl, so you niggas quit asking for it. That's what that means. So be prepared to be mad, because she ain't gonna be nowhere up on that stage, because they quote unquote made up. She ain't said shit, so I don't believe you.
She too busy. Well, actually, Jermaine Dupri came out and said they not back together. Which, I mean, I assume he's telling the truth, because nobody was benefiting from that rumor more than him. So, if he say they ain't back together, then they ain't back together. Which is sad for him.
Yeah, you gonna talk on behalf of the victim? Get the fuck out of here. Don't nobody care about what you got to say?
Yeah, he got interviewed by Zane Lowe. Well, I think we've played an interview from him before on the show. Why did that make that big? I didn't tell it to do this. What is this doing? What is happening on my computer right now? Screen just got all biggie. Oh, there we go.
If it's not, you know, enough for you to be out there in rehearsal, trying to prepare for the release of a record, making music videos, making sure this album goes, getting your tour together, rehearsing, you've also
football game.
Landed the big fish. Now, this is... I mean, this is borderline psychotic, you're doing this at this time, but fair play to you for doing it. So okay, third time, but you're returning after the last time, and when you announced, it brought up the last time for a lot of people again. And
that naturally. I mean, that's something that we talked about.
Yeah, I bet. So what was the conversation?
It wasn't, to be honest, it's like, it wasn't too much of a conversation. Just one of those things where you go like, yeah, we're not going to, what do you want me to say? Like, we're not going to do that again. You know, like,
dude, I just so sort of crazy. That is the world's biggest stage, man. And like, to come off that stage back then and realize that like everything was supposed to go to plan. And now the whole thing is something completely different to the rest of the performance. Must have been like one of those moments as an artist, a human being. How do I roll through this?
I stumbled through it, you know, to be quite honest. Like, I had my wires crossed, and it's just something that you have to look back on and go like, okay, well, you know, you can't change what's happened, but you know, you can move forward and learn from it.
And you and Janet took some time to do that after the fact and kind of resolve the situation, and like, we're able to make peace of the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I don't know that a lot of people know that. I mean, I don't think it's my job to do that, because you value the relationships that you do have with
absolutely,
people.
Absolutely, 100%.
So you don't think a lot of y'all know that, you know, him and Janet, they cool. So 0 to 100, Karen.
100.
Okay, all right. Well, for me personally, I gotta give it 0. I mean, he made up with Janet. I'm not Janet. If they accept it, you know, who am I to say? And I'm so impressed with 0. I say, Justin, welcome back to the cookout, buddy.
Mm-mm.
Welcome back
you
to the cookout.
You have
my tickets.
You gave away all your tickets. I think they have revoked your ticket giving privilege.
Nope. Justin, you're welcome to the cookout. Use my buddy pass. you have a good one. You know, just understand, you know, that this is an official cookout invitation. Mm-mm. And I look forward to not seeing you there, because I'm not coming to the cookout.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna stay home. I'm an introvert. I'll probably watch some TV.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I'll look at y'all.
A bunch of people. I'm like, how'd you get in here? Who gave you a ticket?
I like all your pictures on Instagram. You know, go live on the ground for me, Justin, while you're there. You know, say hey to everybody. All right. I'll cook out invites from Rod or non-binding the subject to review by a board of my peers. Also, since Rod will not be attending the cookout, all invitees may be barred from admittance at any moment during, before, or after said cookout. The cookout may refer to the commercial location of the chain fast food restaurant cookout, and not the fictional metaphorical black cookout that signifies acceptance and appreciation from the black community. All right, let's go to the next one.
I had to put that disclaimer out there.
Black Lightning is off to a strong start as the best debut for the CW in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I seen it last night.
It was lit, literally and figuratively.
It was so lit. I'm talking about,
I had a ball.
It was so black, I started getting scared the first couple minutes.
Right. They started that shit with some strange fruit, and I'm not talking about no Kanye West strange fruit. I'm talking about like the real strange fruit.
It was so fucking black. I was like, I already started mourning this cancellation.
Me too. Like, I was like, I was not ready. I was like, CW was like, y'all want the black ass show? Here you go.
It was so black. It felt like underground. It was so black. It was black as fuck. Cops got tased by his lightning hands and he blew up their cop car. And I said, hold up. See, what channel is this on?
Right.
CW.
I had to check. again.
Oh my God.
Yes, honey. Them cops pulled him over. He was like, I fit the description, a man in a suit with a mini sized vehicle. What is happening here?
Listen, that shit, Malik, Latavius, LaWanda,
come on,
Anissa, nigga, it was that black. Those just the names of some of the people in it. They was quoting Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Fannie Lou Hamer,
a running Harriet Tubman joke.
They was protesting police.
Come on, because at the very beginning they were interviewing a black man and black woman, and they basically was talking about violence. And I was like, is this WSOC? Because this is like some shit that they will be filming. You sure this is a TV show?
They had straight up, they had a street harassment moment in there. It was so, it was so black. I honestly, guys, it's only one episode in, but I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. It's better than The Wire to me. It's better than Breaking Bad. It's better than Leftovers. It's the best show I ever seen in my life. One episode in. I couldn't believe this shit. It was better than Luke Cage. Already.
It was very, very, very good. It was literally nonstop. It was go, 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 go. It was actually really, really good.
Three of the main people in it is black girls, black women.
Black women, dog. Mm-hmm. And we went in the background. We was up front talking about how beautiful we are, how pretty we are.
Kicking ass.
Right. A man looking at a black woman, wanting his wife back, talking about how good she looked. Shit that we never, ever get. No, we didn't have to hide.
I blocked the nigga for saying that woman ain't look good last night. I don't have time for fucking outright lies. If I've learned anything in 2018, I do not have time to be wasted on liars, okay? You gonna come on my mentions lying like that woman ain't fine? You can get the fuck out. I mean, every woman on that show was fine last night, but still, to single her out, I was like, you the exact type of coon that I don't need around me. There's nothing positive that can come from our relationship from each other.
Mm-mm.
So yay, I loved it. It was great. So I appreciate. I felt seen.
Yes,
I felt so seen, man. It just felt so. I hope they can keep it up, because the episode was so good. Like I said, I've never felt that way about a show before, but I got scared where I was like, I hope they can keep this up. It's so good. I hope they can keep the momentum and it can stay good the whole time, you know, because it's so, I mean, so much forethought, so much balance, so much, and still fun.
Yes, it was.
And it was about a superhero that you don't have to go through the origin story.
No, you don't.
I don't need to see how you got your powers. I don't need to, you know, like, you're talking, and his main power was just being an old black man that just.
Right, was fed up!
He was just tired of this shit, man. He's just. Like, this nigga got pulled over by the cops, and I was like, I could feel, like, I was just like.
You could feel the, yeah.
Every day, we live with that shit. And to see it, like, displayed on a TV show with a superhero, like, I felt a way about that shit.
Yes, and it was one of the, oh, and he got an Alfred, the dude's name ain't Alfred, the dude's name, I don't know what the dude's name is, a Taylor.
Mm.
So,
talking about the white dude that's the tailor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I called him Alfred because I don't think they even said the man's name.
They did. Oh. They had it on the text message, but go ahead.
And I really like that dude, and I like the fact that it really didn't hide blackness, which I liked. It they made it the center.
It didn't just not hide it though, it like slapped you in your face with blackness.
Right, it was like, this is what. And the thing is, on the low, ever since I've seen promotion for it, every song has had somebody black. Like, it's been a black song playing kind of low in the background, and I kept saying, this song, like, this is gonna be some black shit, because
not just low in the background, I mean, it was Kendrick,
right?
It was All My Life, I Want Money and Power. Like, they was letting you know, like, trust us. But I think with it being a CW and being let down by so many shows in the past, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, I was a little concerned. But listen, all the training that we've had over the last 6-7 years of watching mediocre CW shows, it comes to fruition now. It made it all worth it to watch a great one. You know, to hit the ground running in a way that wasn't really goofy to me or cornball-y to me. I mean, it was like over the top in certain elements, but nothing more so than, you know, I mean, it's a show about a nigga with lightning power. So
come on.
It's, you know, it was fine if you're going to create this fictional place. And I loved also that it's not connected to the other shows.
Right.
Because especially for black people who are like, I don't watch the other shows, should I watch this? You can just come right in. You know, like, they're not gonna be like, and this is when you have to know that in season 4 of Arrow, like, you don't have to know anything. They even said, like, it's not connected to the other shows. And at first I was like, oh, I hope this doesn't mean because they expect it to fail, so they don't want to connect to the other shows, so they can be like, oh, this show, if it doesn't catch on, we'll just pretend it never happened. No, it's not connected to the other shows, because, like, they can't handle this universe.
Right.
They don't talk about this shit on those shows.
No, they don't. And, you know, the language was black. The way they talked to each other was black. You know, I didn't have any problem with some of the language and things like that. I know, you know, you get to the woke and PC culture, they might have a problem with certain phrases. But I had no problem with it, because that's how black people talk to each other.
Let me tell you this much, though. Do not. If you're hesitating, don't say, I'm not gonna watch because I'm watching Arrow, I want to catch up on Arrow or The Flash or these other shows. Trust me, would not steer you wrong,
because we watch them all. You don't have to watch,
but you literally, it has nothing to do with those shows.
Nothing.
You just want to see a badass black man that's fed up, and his black daughter's fed up, and his wife fed up, and they just sick of
everybody
this shit,
fed up,
and they whooping people ass, and cops getting it too.
The community fed the, up.
This is the show you want to watch. You don't need to wait. Don't, you know, come get that in there, because none of that other shit is relevant to the story they're telling right now. And I'd rather see y'all hop on now rather than later. And especially if you're gonna wait later and then be like, oh wait, it got canceled or some shit, which I don't think it will. I don't think it's in danger, and you don't owe anybody you're watching. But I'm saying, rather than to hop in later and be like, oh, man, I can't believe they canceled that show, your viewership can count right now, and absolutely you will not be behind the eight ball. You'll come right in. So anyway, I loved it. It was so good.
It was a ball. I had a great time. And I wonder who's in that writing room. I don't know if it's all black, but somebody brown and black is in that writing room.
It retained a complete 100% of its lead in from The Flash.
Oh!
Right. Right.
Wow!
It's Mar Brock Akil is and Salim Akil are the producers, along with Greg Berlanti, who produces everything.
And I like the Flash. I like it a lot, but this shit was better than this week's Flash.
Oh, it wasn't even close. This is better than anything on the CW right now.
Yes,
that wasn't even close. Like, I can't wait for the 100 to come back and everything, because that's my show, but nothing on that channel was fucking with this. Now, it's just a premiere, so I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if you can keep up the momentum. I don't know if every week I'm gonna feel as charged up as I was, but I was ready to go fucking go picket some shit. Yeah, just locally in the area, just go stand out. What are you mad about? I don't know. Just people need to understand the struggle, and you need to stop doing things that's bad and do good things. And that's why I'm here to tell you. And Black Lightning as well. Watch Black Lightning.
Right. And his older daughter was a member of Black Lives Matter. They ain't call her that, but that's what it was. She was out there doing great shit.
Yeah, so I try not to put too many spoilers in that, but nigga, y'all should be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 100, Karen.
100 for what?
For feeling fuck with. It's in the black.
I'm not fuck with it at all. 0.
0 as well. That's 2 zeros for me. Justin Timberlake, and now this.
Just, you know, he 100.
Rachel Dolezal sells coolest prints in the hood hoodies to troll us over the protests at H&M. What?
You sure that's real?
This can't be real.
It don't sound real.
It's on Bossip, who I do trust as a source, but I don't know. And that, and it ended with a question mark, which means it might not be true.
She on the prominent 100 list anyway, so
yeah. Rachel Dolezal existed, so that's 100. But
come on,
yeah. Yeah, she did apparently put this out. On Instagram. It's just, wow, it's seriously, here's my wait, is this serious? What is her Instagram? Rachel Dolezal got an Instagram. I had to go find, I'm sorry guys, this is so the audacity, the caucasity of this.
Come on caucasity,
it's it's so bad.
Yeah, Roger was like, fuck it, we gonna do it live. We got to go find out live on the air. He hadn't prepared for this, y'all.
I have to see the Instagram.
I say, can I see it? Can you share it with the group?
Yeah, I'll share my findings with the group. But, I mean, come on, man. This can't. Oh, Leslie Mack says it's real. Oh, what? What's wrong with her?
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You niggas is crazy.
Man, what is wrong with her, dog? Yeah, she put here's my protest hoodie to counter H&M's coolest monkey in the jungle shirt, now available, link in the bio. Man, she's still trying to pay them bills with that shit, ain't she? I had to because my son was caught a monkey in second grade, and I remember going to the principal about it. After educating the school officials about the historical context of the slur and demanding I'm sorry. Oh, she's still doing that. That's just what she will not give up. Do people like accept it from her now? Like, well, how does that work? When she walks in with the man, I speak to a manager, you know, this is racist, right? Like, do they just turn in and they like, hold on, man, we weren't ready for this. Let me go get my Spider-Man suit so I could point back at you. Cause nigga, you just racist. What are you talking about? You guys are being extremely insensitive. You are being extremely insensitive as well. The man they operate under zero tolerance policy for this type of harassment, the student was suspended, but due to his parents being offended that he was, oh shit, I see you, boss. Due to his parents being offended that he was disciplined for calling my son a racial slur, they pulled him from public school and homeschooled him. This hits home for many of us moms, I'm sure. So I spent today designing this new hoodie that my little son will soon be wearing with pride in production now. Sale is on for the pre-orders before they ship on next Wednesday. She's the LeVar Ball of racial activism. I'm not doing it.
Come on.
I'm not. Nope. You're not catching me out here. Fuck around and never get my shoes.
Mm-mm.
Y'all ain't never getting them hoodies.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. Oh boy. Mm-mm-mm. That's your man's. I don't see it on here, so maybe she
somebody said that she took it down and she put up that
this apology. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Why would anyone want to profit off of anyone else's pain? Exactly what I was not doing. I was selling the positive hoodie on my site for $1 less than I am paying a small print shop to make them, aka I'm losing money off of it because it's a small project.
People got it in her ass.
Not about money. Please will be copped. The pleas are copping. But since people, y'all still following her though? I'm a little disgusted that people still.
9,000 like, something people do.
Who is following her to give her coins? Who is doing this? Come on now. But since people have assumed I'm profiting, it's guilty once suspected by social media hype. So the shirts are gonna be free. AKA I pay for them and I only could afford to make 20 because I'm a broke single mom. So first come basis till they are gone. My site has a flat rate for shipping. Sorry, I can't, I guess, do anything about the shipping. All right. Yeah, level spirit. I support you, sis. You being so supportive of us, in quotes, and I hope that you will continue to be. I like that in that sentence with the quotes of us, you are acknowledging that she's not black, right? Because it's not just, I want to. You know what? This is gonna make me irritated. I'm just gonna go at 100 and just keep it moving. 100.
I told you, for the fact that her name comes up.
100. She's just stayed doing too much.
Right, because you don't never say her name and be like, she just petted some puppies.
Mm-hmm. Like every day.
Something else behind it. You be like, she petted a puppy and called it a nigger. You're like, it can't be just a simple act. It gotta be something extra.
Every day of her calendar just has too much circled over and over and over. Just things to do today. Ooh, too much again. Ooh, I love this.
Ooh, things to do today. The most? Sign me up.
My fave. This is my favorite. That's my jam. Too much.
The most. Yay. That's my party right there. The most? I'm here.
You know my favorite Luther song. Never too much, never too much, never too much. I can never do too much.
Mm-mm. Ever.
Mm-mm. I'm surprised she probably does this all the time. I just don't be knowing nothing about her.
Mm-mm.
They should just call Eiji Yoma every time something happened. You want to get this or you want us to talk about it? Oh man.
100.
Yeah, permanent 100. Former
100 to this picture I'm looking at.
Former Dominican beauty queen wears blackface to imitate Afro-Latina singer Amara La Negra. Oh, it doesn't even look close. What are you doing, ma'am? And why the blackface? Couldn't you have just done what she had on with the no blackface?
And been just fine, and people would have got the point.
Yep. That's why race and where and ethnicity not the same thing.
No, it is not. And I know this is off topic, but I've never heard of this woman's music.
Who?
Can you play her music? I don't know.
Amara La Negra.
Yes.
First of all, you don't watch Love and Hip Hop, and that's what it's all about. So
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is you and Justin's realm.
Yeah. So it's not about the music. Okay. Amara La Negra is fine as fuck. She look like a Barbie doll. Like, she's so fine. Anyway, the point being, she talks about, and it's funny because, I doubt they'll be able to keep her around on Love and Hip Hop because her star is already, like, rising,
right?
And they don't sign those long-term contracts, really, which I wonder if they're gonna change that, because after what happened with them with Cardi B, it's almost like they should make these people stick around, because what if somebody gets too big and now they gone, right? Anyway, point being, her struggle has been that she's a dark-skinned Latina woman and she's constantly been mocked for it. She's constantly been ostracized and told she's not Latina enough, told that, and also, you know, not black enough, although right. Black people are way more accepting. Mm-hmm. But she's got that her whole life. Every time she talks about it, she ends up crying, because that shit, as much as the show is fake, that trauma and shit is real. Yes, that's sir. One It's kind of interesting because it's almost like people are going out of their way to make her point. You know, like on the show, there's a dude that's Latino and or Latinx, I guess, and he says stuff like, girl, you need to like change your image up and get rid of that afro and stuff like that, right?
What?
Yes. But to me personally, it's kind of different when he does it because I know the show is scripted and they need a person like that to illustrate the struggle of her story. For all we know, they could be best fucking friends, and that's just his line on the show that he has to say. And it sounded like the backlash got a little too stronger than she thought it was, because right. She went on Twitter at one point and was like, guys, please don't boycott the show because, you know, I need this, I need y'all to support me, blah blah blah. But also because, I mean, to a certain extent, that's her storyline, so they got to show her what her experience is like and her going through it. I wouldn't be surprised if they're friends. You know, to be honest, like I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Good God, this woman is gorgeous,
right? Ain't she?
Woo!
Listen, every week, like I don't even watch Love Hip Hop New York no more.
Oh, she's beautiful.
But I will.
All that brown, pretty skin,
right? And she got them eyes.
Oh, listen. She's good in that fro, yes, ma'am.
Right, and the thing that she been hearing like that you ugly all this time,
honey, ain't nothing ugly on her.
Right, you know your hair is not straight enough, your skin's not light enough.
I had a fro. You already can't tell me shit anyway, but I had a fro like that. I would definitely tell you to kiss my whole entire Latino black ass if I was her.
Right. So to see another person within your culture mock you by wearing blackface and a fake afro wig, to say that they're somehow you know, I'm imitating you, you know, that's that's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't think some modeling agency won't yank up.
Yeah, and she's the woman is a TV host and former Nuestra Belleza Latina contestant. Her name is Geisha Montez de Oca. She went out there and people were saying it's disgusting, it's a disgrace to the entire Hispanic community. She's making a mockery of her own African descent. So sad. Love the DR, but the people are so stuck with the slave mentality, they see nothing wrong with it. While Amara hasn't explicitly commented on the action, she has reposted video and pictures from the stunt on her own personal Instagram account. Colorism within the Latinx community most certainly isn't anything new. We're all too familiar with our own families criticizing Latinx women for being morenita or worse, la negra. Regardless of what Montez de Oca's intentions were with this performance, she blatantly abused her white Latinx privilege by taking an often scrutinized identity she could never relate to, one that Amara has criticized in the past. That sucks, man. 100 though, for the record. I don't even understand. Why do you have to go blackface? Why?
You don't. You know how many white people wear outfits to represent black people and they don't put not a nay ray drop of brown or black on their skin? Everybody go, oh, you look like Luke Cage, and keep it fucking pushing.
Not a nay ray drop. Not a nay ray one. But yeah, I hope she get makeup in her eye next time. All right, let's do something else. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, you know what? We can take out the trash. Don't worry, guys. It's going to take a couple hours for the clip to play.
It's slow because of the snow. Stuck on 85.
Mm-hmm. Like my tacos.
Oh, we got to talk. That's hilarious. We can talk about that.
All right. There we go. It's about to
taco
play.
Taco tragedy.
Seal, who famously chastised Oprah for being in a picture with Harvey Weinstein, is being investigated for sexual battery. Let Life is Sonic the Hedgehog, ain't it?
Come on.
TMZ reports the singer Seal is being investigated by the LAPD for sexual battery. Tracy Birdsall is an actress and former neighbor of Seal's, who tells TMZ that he allegedly lunged at her in the fall of 2016 during a visit to his house, claiming that the two were strictly friends. She says Seal attempted to kiss her, commented that her outfit implied that she was asking for it, and proceeded to grope her breast, or as Aziz Ansari calls it, a first date. Though Birdsall says she refused his advances, at one point demanded that he stop, she claims Seal repeatedly groped her again on her couch and shamed her for her outfit. Birdsall says she left the home shortly after and has had no contact with him since the alleged incident. In a statement to TMZ, Seal has vehemently denied the allegations, saying he intends to vigorously defend himself against these false allegations. That's like every lawyer. Did they just have that on the broiler plate? That's like, stamp this, send it out.
Mm-hmm.
A source from the LAPD tells TMZ that Birdsall filed the police report on Saturday and that an investigation is ongoing. I don't know how you're going to prove this. You know, correct. Like, she went to the police, but I feel like all these dudes can be relatively sure that nothing's going to happen to them. And, you know, with shit like this, because a year ago, my word against yours, and it's more of a symbolic filing to say, hey, this shit, because when people file stuff like this, to me, I'm like, oh, this must, to me, this is how I feel. Oh, this probably happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you're not going to get justice, but you want to make a fucking point to him like you're a hypocrite. The reason I say that is she was empowered to come forward after watching Seal encourage women to tell their stories in his video defense of a photo he posted on Instagram last week that accused Oprah Winfrey of having prior knowledge about the Harvey Weinstein allegations. Ain't that some shit? That came at him pretty damn fast. Oprah, you out here? See, this is what happened when you come in my president, okay? And y'all gonna learn to keep her motherfucking name out y'all mouth before y'all end up on that Summer Jam screen, okay? You was coming at the queen, and this woman saw that shit and said, oh, okay then, cool. All
right.
She did that Cam Newton, just nodded. Mm-hmm. And hopped right on in there and said, fuck that nigga. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Seal's out there. Condoleezza Rice says, people should be careful that Me Too movement doesn't turn women into snowflakes. This is your yearly reminder, Condoleezza Rice is a Republican.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Don't hashtag never forget.
She
never forget. She can play the hell out of a piano, but hashtag don't your black ass forget.
As excellent as she is.
And the great things that she's done.
She's done all those great things for your dog, George W. Bush.
Come on.
Condoleezza put her in some rice. Said that she believes the Me Too movement is a good thing, but people need to be careful not to let it turn women into snowflakes. The former U.S. Secretary, I do just like to put in the focus for one second, everybody. The Me Too movement isn't even 3 months old. 90 days is all it takes for us to say women need to calm the fuck down. Millennia of men running shit, still running shit to this day. No one went to prison. No one's really been destroyed by this shit. It's all been like, and he got taken off of a project. And yet, we are already at, hold the fuck up, women. Y'all are tripping. Already. Ain't that some shit? Anyway. She said, let's not turn women in the snowflake, said the 63-year-old. Let's not infantilize women. She said she's heard people start to express those thoughts and things that if people aren't careful, it could ultimately end up backfiring on women. She says she's worried men will stop interacting with women in the workplace for fear of being accused of inappropriate behavior. That's not what any of the allegations have said, so that's not. Mm-mm. Who is the person that has lost a job or opportunity or going to jail or whatever over allegations of they interacted with me in the office and I just couldn't take it?
They talked to me about a copier.
Have we had a he said nice dress toots yet?
Right?
Have we had someone go down for that yet? What the fuck is happening to everyone? I feel like I'm on crazy pills. This isn't, am I the only one reading the stories? Is that what it is? I'm the only one reading past the headline to be like, oh, and then he grabbed the, oh, and then what? And it slammed the door shut. Oh, God.
Oh, and he did what with his dick? Oh.
Right. Who is, listen, men are just going to be afraid to even go up and say hi if they can't pull it. No, they can pull their dick out and not get in trouble. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, if a man can't have a business meeting with your wife, pull his dick out and jack it around a little bit without her getting all hysterical, how the hell is he gonna know to be able to even say hey to her? Think about it, guys. You know what's gonna happen? They not even gonna start hiring women. You know, they're always like, see what happens, they're not gonna want to interact with you because they're gonna get accused of sexism, so they're not gonna want to make you a manager. Nigga, they won't make me a manager now. That's the problem.
Right. What are we talking about here?
You know how I got this management job? Walked in Matt Lauer's office, put a fucking thumb in my ass. That's not how I want to get the job either. I think I'd rather just, you know, take my chances with a fair and equitable workplace and let my work speak for myself. I think I'd rather take my chances with that. Oh, my God. Mm-mm-mm. This has been such a disappointing week. Just finding out people's definition of bad sex is anything that is, you know, enough to keep me out of prison. You know, I thought bad sex was like, oh, one of us didn't come, or
oh, I got a cramp in the middle of the
yeah, sex, it was too hot and we needed to stop.
Yeah. Or, oh, you know what? I got sick.
Yeah. I'm tired and I need to go to bed anyway. Right. I'm sorry. You know, bad sex tonight.
Yeah, my back hurt. You know, yeah. I tried to use the pillow, still having problems.
Couldn't get it up. Mm-hmm. You know how it is. Some days it's too much on my mind. No, sorry about this. That was some bad sex. Okay? We had sex twice already. This third time, I think objectively, we can agree that this was bad. It was not our best effort. Let's just
let's regroup team and get together again next time.
Let's try this again next week. You know, whatever the fuck. You know, let's whatever let's, people you do.
Know, you know, sorry squad. Let's right. You know.
I thought that's what I thought bad sex was.
Right.
You know.
I thought bad sex was, oops, I didn't mean to hit you in the eye when I was reaching across for the condom. And that's like completely by accident.
I stomped my foot walking right. around the dark in your house. I don't know these furniture. I thought that was bad sex. I did not know, hey, I was just short of catching a rape charge. Must have been just bad. Got to chalk it up to the game, dog. Right. Got to chalk it up to the game. Hey, you know how I be. Sometimes, what the fuck is happening in the world? I'm looking around. Oh, like that. I feel like I was at Weave A Gift this entire fucking week. Just, what are you saying? Well, listen, man, sometimes it just be like that. And men and women. Sometimes it just be like that.
Men and women.
Like, well, has anyone taken the time to think maybe it shouldn't be? Maybe that's part of what this whole thing is about, is things shouldn't be this way. Right. Just because it is a way doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And that maybe we need to reformat and rethink about the ways that we've been complicit in contributing to this shit. No? No one?
Mm-mm, nobody.
If anything, the
nobody.
If anything, the Z story was probably the best example of things that need to be talked about, because to a certain extent it's the least criminal of the things we've seen so far, but it's also the most common, it appears, and people don't want to re-examine what that means they've done to people and what that means that's been done to them, and what our level of acceptance and tolerance for that shit is in our lives and in our society that we are bringing people into. And when you hear people like Condoleezza Rice say we're gonna turn women into snowflakes, being a person who is assaulted or taken advantage of is not make you a weak person, and it doesn't make you a snowflake to then turn around and say that was wrong and I don't want that to happen again and I don't want it to happen to the next person, and we need to reformat this workplace and our cultural norms so that these things don't happen to people so easily. That doesn't make you weak, that makes you strong. Like, I don't understand, we live in a society where we fucking lionize like activists and like Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, like we lionize these people, but yet you could then flip the same argument and be like, these fucking snowflake black people couldn't take segregation, so they want to change everything around. And just, I mean, aren't you afraid of white people gonna get getting accused of racism? Why? They just gonna stop interacting. Why hire you at all? They don't want to get accused of racism. I wouldn't even give you a job then. Like, that's the reaction we have to shit, where it's just, we should all be like, oh wait, I want to live in a world where if I go on a date, I'm not sending somebody home fucking crying after that experience, and where I'm at least cognizant of it. If you believe the best version of that tale, right, the best version of that tale, I'm at least cognizant of the damage that could potentially be done through this interaction, so that I would not engage in this, because it can't possibly be worth this. And yet we still keep arriving to, but these women, man, people gonna think they soft. Like, well, aren't these people that think like that already attacking women because they think they soft? Aren't we already there at this place, this magical place of Snowflakeville? You know, and also, I don't think we should measure strength by how much fucking abuse we can take.
Right.
That's not strength, to be like, you couldn't hack it on the sexual assault level of a video game. Like, it's not, like, this is my life. It's not, hey, listen, man, these guys gotta stop grabbing my ass when I come into work. Wow, you just gonna punk out, huh? Psh, couldn't be me, Snowflake. I can take it. It's so stupid.
That's basically what she's saying, yeah.
So stupid. Anyway, she says, it worries me. I think the movement to expose these circumstances is a good thing. Let's clear the air about it.
Do you really think that? Because you're basically saying the opposite of that.
I do think we have to be a little bit careful. They always urge this caution that's already happening. Like, where is the uncautious? Give me your example of the uncautious moves. I've certainly had people suggest that maybe we should just go out and, you know, in situations in which it was somebody more senior than I, she said. I've never faced an explicit quid pro quo. I've never had anyone do anything that I would consider assault, but I don't know a woman alive who hasn't had somebody say or do something that was inappropriate and at best and aggressive at worst. Yeah, and that was the end of the comments from her that they included, but okay. This is a real problem, but let's be careful, guys. Let's not get carried away. Like, no one's getting carried away. Who are the innocent men that got caught up in this? Where are they at? Two more media men are added to the sexual harassment ledger. It's if only Tuesday's sexual harassment in the media summit at the Newseum had waited a day and a half. They could have rushed out during the coffee breaks to cover some on-topic news nearby.
Oh Lord.
The following day, word that Fox News reporter James Rosen has departed over 18 years due to sexual harassment allegations, while the Washington Post suspended ACE reporter Joel Achenbach for 90 days for unspecified misconduct involving current and former female colleagues. Just 90 days, huh? Both incidents were punctuated by
a vivid semester. 90 the whole day. Quarter.
Right. 3 months. Is it paid or not? I wonder. More people getting added to the list. They didn't say exactly what they did, because companies are also keeping these things kind of secret. There's no transparency on this shit. Mm-mm. And unless that's one of the reasons I don't understand when people get upset with these women coming forward, or survivors coming forward. I shouldn't even say women, because sometimes it's men. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that bothers me about people getting mad at them, the way that our system is set up, it's set up to protect the fucking accused. So in many cases, you wouldn't know the details of this stuff. And when you don't know the details, motherfuckers make it up. And they always make it out to be the least egregious thing. And they always accept the fucking terms of the person that's the accused. They just go with what they say. So, like, and that's normally the more famous person in these pairings anyway, but it's always like, well, James Carr, he just said he touched her back and said, you know, there, ma'am. And now he's got to lose his job? Is that fair? And it's like, well, now we have to wait for this woman to come forward and tell you that ain't what the fuck happened. And then we go, well, I don't believe that bitch. That's how our society is set up right now. That's where the discussion happens. It's male models say Mario Testino and Bruce Weber sexually exploited them. for a fashion model, because like it's a power dynamic. Now when these things happen to men, let me guess, everybody is pretty much on board and they believe them, right? My guess would be, since
there's no Facebook or Twitter debates about this,
right? A presumably gay man did these things to them and nobody told them, well, what were you doing there, or
what'd you have on?
Yeah, listen, you just had a bad photo shoot, okay? That was all that was.
That's not what you really wanted.
Yeah, that's all it was. I mean, what you expect them to do? For a fashion model, success is the ability to incite desire. The job requirements often include nudity and feigning seduction. Provocation is a lever for sales. In the industry, the boundaries between acceptable and unacceptable treatment of models has been etched in shades of gray. So this has allowed prominent photographers to do a bunch of stuff during the shoots, sexually exploiting models and assistants and things like that. So 15 current and former male models who work with Bruce Weber, whose racy advertisements for companies like Calvin Klein and Abercrombie and Fitch helped turn him into one of the foremost commercial and fine arts photographers, have described to the New York Times a pattern of what they said was unnecessary nudity and coercive sexual behavior, often during photo shoots. The men recalled with remarkable consistency the private sessions with Mr. Weber, in which he would ask them to undress and led them through breathing and energy exercises. Models were asked to breathe and to touch both themselves and Mr. Weber, moving their hands wherever they felt their energy. Often, he would guide their hands with his own. I remember him putting his fingers in my mouth and him grabbing my privates. Huh, when have we heard that before? Said model Robinson Claire. We never had sex or anything, but a lot of things happened, a lot of touching, a lot of molestation. And accounts going back to the mid-90s, 13 male assistants and models who have worked with photographer Mario Testino, a favorite of the English royal family in Vogue, told the Times that he subjected them to sexual advances that in some cases included groping and masturbation. Why do you need to touch my dick to take this photo, bro? The camera and the button for the camera are way over there. Just touch those. Representatives for both photographers said they were dismayed and surprised by the allegations. I'm completely shocked and saddened by the outrageous claims being made against me, which I absolutely deny. I wonder if people feel so much benefit of the doubt when it's the shoe on the other foot. You know, when you're not a fan of this person, you don't know this person's work like that. You know, because when it's James Franco, it's like, well, I mean, are we calling this? I mean, the guy did, I mean, it's, listen, he's just an actor, he's eccentric. But when it's this dude and it's gay, quote unquote, all of a sudden it's like, oh, this motherfucker gotta go. This is sick. Some sick shit right here. No arguing. I haven't seen a single, like, what were these men doing there? Not a single one. This story went and passed through just so quick. You would have never known. It's, wow. But yeah, so you can add these motherfuckers there. And the story is long as hell. It's in the New York Times, so you know it's one of them long ass stories. You know, sometimes 15 men randomly accuse somebody of sexual exploitation, and you guys know how it is. We just can't believe them. We need more evidence. You know, what happened to innocent until proven guilty, guys? What happened? Maybe in the court of law. I mean, let's not turn these men into snowflakes, guys, okay?
You mean that snowflakes outside, that temperature get hot enough, they melt away?
By the way, I'm looking at the comments for the New York Times right now. I don't see a single, these motherfuckers lying, where's the evidence? I can't believe these men are accusing them.
Miss Marseille, why didn't you leave?
Yeah, and by the way, some of them did leave, just like the girl with the season. Sorry, by the way, but some of them did leave, you know.
But for the ones who didn't,
still, the point being, it didn't matter that she did leave either. One of the main questions I saw is, why didn't she leave?
Right. You're like, she did. It don't matter. Why didn't she leave?
Right. What? Well, she did leave. She should have left earlier. Okay, but if she left earlier, you'll be saying, why'd she go to his apartment on the first date? And if she left before that, you would say, why'd she go on a first date? You know, like, y'all, it was always gonna be some reason it'd be her fault, not his. I don't know. I feel like predatory motherfuckers are in a different category where we just go, oh, that's his fault. But I'm tripping. Liam Neeson says harassment allegations are now a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. I will try it. Every time a dude says that, I'm like, wonder when your shit's dropping.
Right.
I always feel that way. But, I mean, not that it has to. I think a lot of men that don't participate in this shit still defend the men that do.
Correct. And that's problematic. That's very problematic. Because why are you defending an act that you would not participate in? Just be quiet. I'd rather you be quiet and not say nothing than to stand up and defend it. And that's very frustrating.
Right. But, yeah, it's just interesting. Motherfuckers will find a way to be like, listen, no one was talking or thinking about me. How can I hop in this? Alec Baldwin came out and said that it wasn't fair how people were target how Woody Allen's allegations came back up. I'm like, when your shit dropping, Alec? When your mixtape dropping? Come on. You know it's coming.
A lot of times when they speak out, if they've done something, people are like, oh, you talking? And people will come out, particularly if this is something that you've done. Most of the time, people that are predatory like this have more than one victim.
Right. So I don't put it past not Nay Ray one of them, as Karen would say. All right, let's try to move into some lighter stuff, guys. Let's do some white people news, okay? I know you guys look forward to this with great anticipation every week.
Y'all can't blame me on this one.
And we enjoy bringing it to you, especially Karen.
Nope.
Who said we should do the show early, because if it hadn't been for her, we'd be doing Walking Dead right now.
See, find a way to blame the woman.
Don't be a snowflake.
Oh no.
Oh no.
This is off key pimping. You know why? Thug them, hump them, love them, leave them, but I don't
ever need them. Take my hood, keep them looking good. But I don't ever feed him. Oh, you not cussing? For some reason. Talk about what's the reason? I'm a pimp and I'm sense the world, mama. Better trust and believe him. And they cut where I keep them. So I need a nut. So I need to beat the guts in this. Beat them, I'm picking them up. Let's play with the truck. Any chicks might put chicken's fists in cuffs. The boy seems to split his butts. Just because you got good hair and my break bread. So you be living it up. Oh, I'll beat. Pots
with nothing. Y'all be told I'll be pimping.
For rapper to rapper version.
Yes.
Hot cold assassins. I got no passion. I got no patience. And I hate waiting. Who get your ass in and let's rock. Big Pimpin in the back seat of this car.
Apparently so.
Big Pimpin, spin the sheets. Big Pimpin, no BLAD. Big Pimpin up in NYC. Just that Jigga Man, Pimp C and B-U-N-B. Cause we be Big Pimpin, spin the sheets. How long did it take him to learn these notes? Big pimpin' up in NYC. Just that Jigga Man, PMC, and B-U-N-B. G-O-D was the first MC before Jay-Z, before JC. Rockin' MC, mocking prophecy, sucking him with C, spitting the Tennessee. Above the hoes. Is this a remix? Where these lyrics come from?
Old T-shirts, Birdman, Jeff, this bear grows. So G, he make the earth shake. Life he can take, or make you a Drake. Think you're fake, day for a sake. Wait till you wake your faith, your faith. The sun, his bling, his sun, his thing. Temple done, top of kings, number one doesn't sing his praises, grace, his mace, his waist.
That turned to a Christian rap, and y'all know I don't do that. There's nothing. There's nothing that can make a rap worse than trying to Christian that shit up.
No. You're like, no, this is not what I signed up for.
Nobody asked for that. Nobody.
The clean version. I didn't come here for this.
I knew something was up when he wasn't cussing. I knew something was up. And then he tried to switch it up and convert me to Jesus. Man, you're going to get the hell out of here.
That is not why I came.
And we be big pimping.
Already bashed y'all beat. Come on.
Right. God don't make ugly, so I know that wasn't from him.
Ah. Oh, Lord.
Of all the songs. Oh, my God. I guess big pimping is the closest to religion in America, though. I mean, he's on to something. All right, white people news. I'm not gonna do that, y'all, man. It's a snow day when the show's been pretty sad today, so let's skip that.
Thank you.
Alligator battles python on a Florida golf coast course.
What?
You heard me, Karen. A fucking alligator and a python had it out at a Florida golf course, because that's Florida's the Australia of America. Group playing at the golf club at Fiddler's Creek in Naples on Florida ran into an interesting hazard on the 10th hole, a serious hazard. An alligator and a python were locked in a battle while golfers played nearby. While the snake was, they still played? Guess the rings. Y'all know what segment this is in.
Come on, they still played?
While the snake was twisting around the gator, the python's tail was sitting right in the gator's, in the alligator's mouth. Although surprised, Richard Nadler and his friends decided to play through, as the two creatures from the animal kingdom seemed more interested in themselves and not the birdies or eagles.
What was the animal, what was the crew from Animal Planet?
Nadler said that he never expected the response to photos to get on social media. I mean, alligators are an everyday thing, having them fight for their lives and so on is a bigger thing, but the comments that I read, it was very interesting. The big question on everyone's mind was who won. WFTS reached out to the golf course, but Fiddler's Creek manager declined to comment. Yeah. No, that's white.
And that is a big ass alligator. That shit look like a dinosaur.
And a big ass snake.
Yes.
Like, a makeup free Jessica Biel catches her flight, plus Chris Pratt, Alicia Silverstone, and more. In today's white people doing stuff segment.
Yes, what's happening? That was a lot in that title.
Today in white people existing.
Right.
People was walking and some had makeup on and like some didn't have makeup on. Right. Like some was holding hands and then like some like had coats on. It was crazy. It was so crazy.
We here to give you all the lemonade. Not the tea, but the lemonade.
Oh, it's just pictures? Is that it? That's the whole article? It's just pictures? This is
it's one of the ones where you click through.
Katie Holmes ditches makeup for a visit to New York City's Metropolitan Museum of Art on Monday. Good for you, Katie Holmes. Where's Jamie Foxx? I thought y'all was dating.
He ain't making it with this trip.
Oh, don't forget, Brooke Burke Charvet soaked up the sun at the park in Malibu, California, following her workout class. Girl, you ain't workout. You ain't got not a drop of sweat on you. She gonna come outside, call the paparazzi, be like, look at these titties, y'all. All right, back to work.
Look at these abs.
Yeah, you could. I love the ones where they just, it's so blatant, they called paparazzi, like,
right, she put, let me go get this picture.
Yeah, like, she posed for that one.
She did.
Yeah, I mean, look, flaunt it if you got it, but it's just so funny.
I would too.
Oh, you happen to catch me outside? Hold on, my best angle. I'm ready for my close-up. Pregnant Chrissy Teigen shows off her growing baby bump during a walk with husband John Legend in Beverly Hills. They be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. I know y'all think Chrissy corny. I don't care. I like them.
They happy.
She seemed like a generally good person, and I love how they shade people on Twitter together.
Oh, and you right, fine wine. Them boots.
Mm-hmm. Let's see who else we got here. Oh wait, was that the end of the fucking, they promised me more whiteness, but all right, we'll go to another article. This is taking too long to load. Shout out to makeup free Jessica Biel, who we never got to see.
I know, right?
let's see what else. This is why my daughter, wait, yeah, this is why my daughter thinks she needs to eat less. Victoria Beckham is blasted by furious parents for using a sickly skinny model in her latest eyewear campaign.
Is she supposed to go pick the model?
Probably, but here's my thing. Are skinny people not supposed to work in model?
Because like, it's almost going to the opposite. It's like, hey, everybody needs to be included, and they like, nope, fuck you skinny bitches. It's like, oh, that's not solving the problem. Actually, everybody needs to be here.
Now, hopefully this is just fake outrage and it's just one person acting real crazy.
Right.
And most people were like, yeah, okay, that's cool, whatever. You know, it's eyewear. It's not even like fucking like body wear or whatever. But I mean, I don't know. It's too complicated for white people news. She's come under fire for using her sickly skinny model in her latest eyewear campaign. The designer, 43, said with a barrage of complaints on her Facebook and Instagram pages after she shared two shots of model Guidry Dukan-Shahiyite, 29, wearing a pair of oversized glasses from the victorious model Victoria Beckham eyewear spring summer 2018 range.
Oh shit.
But outraged parents claimed it was the Lithuanian model's super slim frame, not the glasses, that caught their attention as they blasted the image on social media. The image is exactly why my already tiny daughter thinks she needs to eat less, fumed one upset mother. Eyes didn't even notice the glasses. The model was the focus. Sickly, skinny Beckham should be ashamed, promoting eating disorder. Her young daughter is heavier than her models. Shame.
She not promoting it.
47 people like that on Facebook.
I'm so confused, white people.
The model looks very poorly. This look definitely should not be promoted. She looks dangerously thin.
Yeah, she does look thin, but she's not promoting the eating disorder. How do we get to eating disorder?
Beautiful clothes, Victoria, but your model looks anorexic. Beautiful girl, but doesn't look healthy. Instead of concentrating on her outfit, I'm staring on her. Here's my thing. What if she's not anorexic and y'all have just shamed her body?
Built like
and
that.
And then the other part is, if she does have, can you just diagnose somebody from looking at, anyway.
People do all the time.
It seems rather dangerous.
Correct.
Anyway, Victoria got roasted over them glasses. Mm-mm-mm. She just wanted y'all to see better. That's it.
That's it.
And let's do some guess the race. We got time. I'm gonna go to the next segment though, because I know we're about to get cut off.
Okay.
And we'll be right back, guys. All right, cool. But yeah, that's crazy, man. They try to, I can see being like, this model was too thin or something in your mind or whatever, like feeling that way, but I couldn't see being like, you the reason my daughter's anorexic. Like, damn, man, take some fucking responsibility.
Come on.
You know, and plus, like, so it's so fucked up because it's a whole industry that is made off of the evaluation of women's bodies, which is already kind of a weird place to be putting a position to be putting people in, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's interesting about this thing is we've seen what the bigger models get. And they catch hate too. It's like,
right? You just don't like women.
Nobody could be good enough. Everybody catches hate, you know. If you're, you know, Ashley Graham gets shamed for being a bad example, and you're gonna make girls unhealthy and fat, then you put a skinny, you're gonna make them sick and skinny. It's like, well, maybe y'all should raise your fucking kids. Because
I didn't want to be like that, but I was about to say, bitch, what are you talking about? Raise your child.
Like if your child's only fucking god in life is, I looked at a ad once and I had to be that, like, maybe you need to spend a little more time with your child.
Right. And y'all need to talk about eating disorders. Like, sit down and talk to your child about the situation.
Like, that's a lot to put on one person's advertisement in any direction.
And
just really,
like, say, and what happened if she's naturally built like that? What happened if she's the type of person that might not can gain weight? I mean, anything could be happening, and y'all just downing her for, what's the difference between shaming her and shaming somebody that's overweight?
What if she got cancer and Victoria was trying to help her get money so she could be, you know, working and stuff? What if that happened? You know, we don't know. We just don't know. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, guys. It's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. We ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to play along, and they guess the race, and of course, they are racist. All right. A brawl breaks out at a Newark pizza place over a missing cell phone that was actually in the lost and found.
Oh!
A squabble over a supposedly missing cell phone broke out into an all-out brawl at a pizza place in Newark Saturday night before it was discovered that the phone had actually been turned into the restaurant's lost and found hours earlier. The fight involved two large groups. It erupted at John's Incredible Pizza Company inside the New Park Mall.
Oh, this pizza was incredible.
Mm-hmm. According to police, footage from the scene captured people exchanging blows and shouting. When Newark police officers arrived, they called in reinforcements from the Fremont Police Department due to the size of the scuffle. Officers were eventually able to gain control over the chaos, according to police. Only minor injuries were reported and no one was arrested. As officers worked on the investigation, the manager of the restaurant came up with the cell phone. The phone had been turned into lost and found several hours before the brawl. The mother of the girl who lost the phone said the family was attacked simply for asking if the group saw the girl's phone. Next thing you know, there was a massive brawl.
True revolution in internet speech.
Next thing you know, there was a massive brawl, people throwing fists, and it was quite crazy. Restaurant worker Drake Lynn said he saw two young women arguing about a phone, and then it got physical. Damn. Their boyfriends or males who they were with backed them up, and then they started throwing punches, and then their friends started throwing punches. Damn, they was out here throwing these
body, body,
throwing them South Ward D's on them. So guess the race of the people involved in the fight.
I'm going white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. New Jersey Drive Black says June. No one was arrested. I'm going with white. Squabble, not riot, white. Black, fuck that. I don't like people playing with my phone. Black. The only thing that would make this story black is if they were smoking menthols. Black. White misunderstanding, says B. Black. The correct answer is they were black.
Oh.
Karen missed it. Some of you did get it right, though.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody got arrested. We called it a squabble.
I don't know if no one got arrested, but I don't remember if no one got arrested or not, but fighting at the pizza place is definitely a black staple. I don't think we've ever had fighting at the pizza place.
We don't care. It was a Pizza Hut and Godfather's. We were brawl, huh?
I don't think we've ever had a pizza flight story that wasn't black people on this show. Like, I know Chuck E. Cheese be scared of them parties. Like, oh, come on. Oh, we don't be on news night. Let's see. Tennessee couple take engagement photos in front of a frozen waterfall in 25 degree weather.
White.
Wow, that was fast. I'll read the story for the rest of you guys. Freezing temperatures in the Teleco Plains, Tennessee didn't stop one couple from capturing a once-in-a-lifetime engagement photo. Morgan Day and Josh Morris decided weeks ago that they wanted their friend and photographer Kelly Elmore to take their engagement photos at Bald River Falls, a place they had visited many times before. It was my wedding gift to them, Elmore tells People, but we didn't expect the waterfall to be frozen. It was majestic. As they made the drive, the traffic became so bad that they decided to park the car and walk the rest of the way, 2 miles, in 25 degree weather. It was super cold, but when we got there, we were just amazed at how it looked in real life, says Elmore, whose Facebook photos of the shoot have been shared over 1,300 times. How did the news find out about this? There are tons of people there, but they happily moved out of the way for us. The couple wasn't fazed by the weather because they were in awe of how crazy how it looked, and felt inspired by the view of the 90-foot waterfall. Dre, who wore rubber rain boots under her dress, danced and had fun with her fiance on the ice. Elmore says she had to give them very little direction. Both in their 20s and students at the Ramp School of Ministry in Hamilton, Alabama, Day and Morris plan to get married on May 11th. Now the challenge is finding an amazing venue that is, if all possible, will top these photos. I'm not sure that will be possible, says Elmore. Guess the race of this couple who took that picture on the frozen waterfall.
I'm still going white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Elsa and Anna White, wild and wonderful whites of Tennessee. They wore shorts and flip-flops in the picture, white. Engagement photos in freezing weather and played on the ice, white shit. If that's the white shine ever, ice people, her dress matches her skin white. The description was too nice. White, of course, whitey white white, white on white on white, and white. The correct answer is all of the whites.
I was about to say, if you was gonna say all of these niggas, I was about to say, bitch, you, what's wrong with you? Rigged.
Turn on the whites in him, baby.
Yeah, that's very, that's a beautiful picture though, but yeah, that's very, very white. 25 degrees. Bitch, I didn't want to go to work this morning, and it was, I think it was above 25. It was almost freezing. Get out of here.
Extra white, I want y'all to see this. Turn on the whites in him, baby. You know what I mean? Want you to see everything. Want you to see all of the whites.
Mm-hmm. All of the cheese.
Mm-hmm. All of the whites.
Mm-hmm. All of the cheese. All of the cheese.
Anyway, let's do the bonus round. Let me close this.
Yeah, and they walked 2 miles?
2 miles in 25 degree weather to take that picture.
And bitch, we wouldn't have got that picture.
Mm-hmm. Short whites, tall whites, ice whites, cold whites. All of the whites.
I hate the cold. No, thank you. I'm only in it when I got to be.
Oh, boy. Double the points in the race. Double the points in the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 1-1. Can she keep it going in the bonus round? Let's find out. A woman dies after contracting a flesh-eating bacteria from oysters.
Oh!
Back in September, Texas resident Vicky Berquist and wife Jeanette LeBlanc were visiting family in Louisiana. They went crabbing with friends and family on the coast, picking up a sack of raw oysters at a market in Westwego. It wasn't long after that LeBlanc's health rapidly declined. The couple's friend, Karen Bowers, says that she and LeBlanc shucked and ate about 2 dozen raw oysters. About 36 hours later, she started having extreme respiratory distress, had a rash on her legs and everything, an allergic reaction of sorts. That's what I would call it. That's what we thought. Her condition went from bad to worse in the first 48 hours. Doctors told Jeanette she had Vibrio, which is a potential deadly bacterial infection. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. She had severe wounds on her legs from that bacteria. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, people can become infected with Vibrio after eating raw or undercooked shellfish or by exposing open wounds to brackish water. LeBlanc had been in contact with both. For the next 21 days, she fought for her life. I can't even imagine going through that for 21 days, much less a day. Most people don't last. LeBlanc was not able to recover. She died October 15th. She was bigger than life. She was a great person, laughed a lot, loved her family, loved her dad. Now both Berquist and Bowers are raising awareness about Vibrio, saying they wish they would have known the risk. If we had known that risk was so high, I think she would have stopped eating oysters, Berquist said. Guess the race.
White.
Going with white, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess she just couldn't shuck it. Let's check the chat room. See what they... See what... Man, not a lot of guesses. You guys need to come out of your shells in here, guys. Come on. I feel like I'm casting pearls before swine with these jokes. White folks don't have no washcloths white, sad white, damn white, shellfish white. White shucking and jiving is not a good idea, white. White folks that caught the wrong barrel of oysters, white Jesus has them now, the white and white. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, should have shared some of those oysters. Stop being so damn shellfish. She was white. I don't think anyone missed that.
Don't you mean shell shocked?
She was shell shocked, Karen. Mm-hmm. all right. Time to do sword ratchetness, guys. Hope you enjoyed this snowy edition of the show.
Mm-hmm. Might not be snowing where you are, but you enjoying the snow day with us.
Mm-hmm. Where's the Oh, can't find the song. Let's move it to, there we go. And then I just scroll past it. What the hell did I just do? Ah! All right, now here we go. Sorry we made jokes about that last story, guys. That just shucks. A sword attacker is charged with the attempted murder of his former girlfriend. And he looks kind of like Dwayne Wade. That's right, he's black. Battle Creek, Michigan. The Battle Creek man was arrested in Friday's sword attack on his former girlfriend. And he's been charged in a warrant with, attempted murder. Calhoun County Prosecutor David Gilbert said the charges of assault with intent to murder, home invasion, and being a habitual fourth offender were issued Saturday against Anthony Wilcock, 35. And there could be more, Gilbert said. Wilcock was arrested
Friday. In a world filled with technology, Spectrum delivers with superior HD.
That's been happening a lot today.
I know, right? These autoplays. Quit doing that, companies.
Anyway.
Don't care about your shit. They'd have clicked on if they wanted it.
Whitlock arrested Friday after Battle Creek police said he attacked his former girlfriend, the mother of his three children, Alonda Robinson. She remains in critical condition, by the way. Gilbert said because of his prior record, Whitlock faces a maximum sentence of life in prison and a minimum sentence of 25 years and convicted on all charges. He's been held without bond. He was armed with a 3-foot replica samurai sword. There's no such thing as a replica sword. I'm trying to tell you motherfuckers.
All of them cut. What are we talking about here?
All of them should be registered weapons, and you shouldn't just be allowed to have one, especially a guy that's a fucking many, many time violent offender. Armed with a 3-foot replica sword, he attacked Robinson and inflicted severe injuries. Police say the thumb and index finger on one of her hands was severed, and she had serious injuries to her feet and ankles as well as other parts of her body. The couple's 13-year-old son, who also was awakened when his father entered the apartment, attempted to intervene, and the police say he probably saved his mother's life. Neither the boy nor the two younger children in the apartment were injured. They are staying with family now. The other boy called Whitlock, called 911 as Whitlock left the apartment and named his father as the attacker. Police issued a broadcast to area departments, and Whitlock was arrested by deputies from the Kalamazoo County Sheriff Department just outside Kalamazoo 36 minutes after the attack report was reported. Gilbert said the habitual offender charge was issued because of the prior convictions, including assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than murder, in 2004. Whitlock also has convictions for resisting police and drug delivery. Shit. All right, that's it. We'll be back Saturday with feedback. Balls Deep is on Saturday. Tentatively, This Too Much should be on Sunday afternoon. And then Friday afternoon, I will try to see if we can get a Nerd Off popping with Chris and Aaron, and hopefully, and Karen should be off too, because we're supposed to go to that tasting on Friday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you guys then. All you premium people, the rest of y'all, we'll just see y'all Saturday. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.